It takes something like a pandemic for us to lose every sense of control, for it to be ever more necessary that we have strategies to get inner control, because as we know, we cannot control what's happening in the outer world.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast, everyone. We are going to be talking about something we need to manage, particularly in 2025 and beyond. And this is our energy. This is managing change in our lives. It seems like things are moving faster and faster. And a word you must have heard of, whether it's something you've experienced directly or you know someone that experienced it, we have to be careful for it. We have to have strategies to manage it. And particularly if you're an entrepreneur and getting into sales, you need to be careful. And I'm talking here about burnouts, overwork, stress. This is going to be things you will be experiencing as you're possibly on a journey of entrepreneurship, bringing more success. But does it have to be so painful? Does it need to get to the point of burnout? Or are there things we can look out for? Are there strategies we can apply so we can have more success without having to necessarily burn the candle on both ends while doing it? And the guest that I have today to speak more about this is none other than Bianca Best. Her first book about flourish, redefine success, create more time, energy, impact, and happiness came out a few years ago. And coming fresh off the press, we have Big Impact Without Burnout, which is set to release in March. So depending on when you're listening to this, we will urge you to grab a pre-order copy or grab it from the shelves. And if you're not familiar with Bianca, she has created multiple businesses. She's been an award-winning leader, global executive, mother, four, inspiring speaker, and has worked with her trademark EnergyScape methodology. It's a process we're going to dive deeper today. She's been a techpreneur. She's launched her first business in her 20s, a bespoke gift company. She's been featured on platforms as a speaker at places like Google, Amazon, Snap, you name it. And Amazon even named her the most motivating and uplifting speaker. We're going to have a taste of all of that and more with Bianca. Thank you for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I know we're going to have a fantastic conversation.
Yes. Now, I'm going to make an assumption. I could be completely wrong, but when I see a book talking about burnout, helping people to make sure that they can make that big impact without burnout, I have a feeling there's a story that part of your journey might have led to possible burnout, that might have been, you know, something you've learned along your journey. And I'd love to start there and hear what's happened and how did this burnout become an emphasis that you saw as we need to change?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's definitely start there. I absolutely believe ambition is not a dirty word. And it's okay for us to want to reach for the stars. And we don't get taught at school how to actually self-manage as we pursue our dreams. And for me, it was a very natural life course to lean into passions and interests with vigor and expansion. And the more I did that, the more life naturally expanded. So I'm fortunate enough to have been blessed with success with the first business I started to run, with life expanding simultaneously, with more children, more homes, more income, more richness and variety in life. But throughout all of the gorgeous and juicy expansion, I didn't know how to self-manage because I hadn't learned that at school. So I was just leaning into my interests and passions. Funnily enough, I was growing businesses and I kept hitting burnout walls where I wouldn't get just a common cold and have the sniffles. I would be absolutely wiped out, laid out in bed with flu, pneumonia, bronchitis, conjunctivitis, tonsillitis again and again and again. And the most extreme was being hospitalized for total immune collapse in my late 20s when my hair was all falling out and I was just in a permanent stress state. And at the point of being told, you have got chronic burnout, you need to change your life, I was in absolute denial. No, I'm rocking my life. Everything's great. My business is flying. My kids are great. But actually, I wasn't paying attention to the wake-up call. A doctor saying, you've got to stop, you've got to change your life. So I would generally hop off that or recover from that burnout, then hop back onto the treadmill and keep going and keep going. I wasn't learning from the lessons. And so I spent a 10-year period from launching my first business, raising my family, to then selling that business, going into corporate, consistently burning out again and again and again across a decade. And initially, my reaction to burnout was, need to modify something about myself to make sure I can still achieve my dreams. So I never wanted to dull down my ambitions. My initial approach to burnout was, well, let's look at the physical. All the well-being advice is like, you need to focus on your physiology. Okay, so I'm going to cut out processed foods, going to try and sleep more, increase the exercise. Let's try that. So I added all that to the to-do list. Let's do the physical stuff. But actually, that wasn't enough. And I still kept burning out, still kept burning out. So then a few years later, right, okay, let's try mental. Let's go for the mental stuff. Lots of well-being advice around that. Okay, I'm going to increase my journaling. Let's spend more time journaling. Let's do more meditation. Let's really get mindful. Let's go on a yoga retreat. Let's do the mental as well as the physical. And yeah, improvements, but it wasn't enough. It was only when I finally got to the point, after many years of experimentation, of addressing not just the physical and the mental, but also the emotional, that's when the biggest shifts started to occur for me. And I think this is often underrepresented in well-being advice. And actually, for me, I think it's the most significant area and way to remedy or prevent burnout. Because leaning into where there's an emotional trigger, a resistance to something, or a niggle, a life niggle that demonstrates there's emotional disquiet in our body, it starts in the mind, but is impacting our body, and we can feel it when we feel the discomfort, that will be creating a stress response that is often quite buried within ourselves. And only until we actually allow that to bubble up and we look it squarely in the eye and we address what that discomfort is all about and fix that, only at that point on can we then ground ourselves into a place of inner harmony that enables us to then go forth and thrive. So I had my last burnout in 2015, and that was it. The mental, the physical, and the emotional, that was the nirvana. And once I'd addressed that, and I'd had to make significant lifestyle changes to get to that place of leaning into the emotional triggers, I really had to make big changes, and it was scary. But on the other side came this place of resilience and ability to soar instead of struggle. So as I then continued on my journey of hitting different goals and different experience, but I kept expanding, people started saying, well, how do you do that? How do you have four children, run businesses, work in corporate? You know, how do you do that? So I started to bottle it all up into programs, into books, into teaching what I had found had worked for me. Hence the fact that I'm now here as a burnout authority, running a burnout business and really practicing what I preach.
Well, I knew we were going to get the gist of it from asking that question. I'm so glad we walked through this. And one thing I want to poke at, because even you admitted this early, is while you were going through this process, you were under a lot of stress. You were burning out, but you were like, no, this is normal. This is part of the game. You mentioned being in denial for it. I'd be curious to know, for anybody who's listening, who probably have subconsciously a little idea that this is not sustainable. I know that I've played with that resource of denial as well, but I'd be curious if you have a series of questions, let's put it on me, that I could ask myself that would make sure that if I am in denial, I'd find out that, oh, okay, I can't pretend that things are okay. There's definitely something going on.
Well, I'm going to ask you if when you put your head on your pillow at the end of the day, and it's time to rest and time to go to sleep, do you feel absolutely in your soul with total integrity at peace? Do you lie there and go, that was a great day? Or do you actually collapse with total exhaustion into a place of surrendering to what has happened today and just become comatose with exhaustion? That's a really good indication of where you sit on that stress productivity scale. Because generally, anyone ambitious is going to want a level of high productivity. That's marvelous. But getting into a place of what I call graceful productivity is where we're really in our positive flow and we're more able to sustain. So when you lie in bed and you're feeling that alignment, that integrity, that sense of I've honored my values today, I feel fulfilled, I feel embalmed in grace, then you're in a good place. But the majority of people that I coach, the organizations I work with who come up and want to talk to me afterwards, after I've done keynotes, they're collapsing into bed. There is no sense of sweet, restorative success. Success doesn't feel sustainable because it feels they're on a treadmill and they're being reactive. So it's that overarching sense of, are you at peace in yourself? And if you're not, if you're whirling and swirling and up in your head, and it's the constancy of the noise that is creating a world where you're reactive and feeling a loss of control, then that's when change needs to happen. And I'll take it a step back. The core precursor to burnout is this loss of control. A sense of a loss of control is a deterministic factor in how likely we are to cascade into burnout. And it takes something like a pandemic for us to lose every sense of control, for it to be ever more necessary that we have strategies to get inner control, because as we know, we cannot control what's happening in the outer world. And that's a challenge for a lot of people.
Very, very true. Now, I can think of times and cycles where I felt this level of, I don't know if it's called anxiety, pre-burnout, but having moments where I'm going through a certain cycle that would happen. And I feel like in the moments of those cycles is like when I have a strong desire for things that I want, there's a part of me that feels that if I want to fix this, I would have to let go of the potential of success that I want. I'd have to diminish myself. And I have a feeling you counter that quite strongly.
I would say, let's start with a definition of success. Let's start right there. And let's deconstruct what perhaps has existed as your version of that utopian success. Because when we deconstruct it and redefine it in alignment with your values and what matters most to you, that might actually change shape. So I look at success holistically. So to get to that place of integrity before you sleep at night, you have to be mind, body, soul in alignment with what matters most to you. Now, when we spend too much of our time, energy, and attention chasing a success ideology that might be an extrinsically created one that isn't actually true to our own soulful desire for success, that's when we start to kilter out of balance. And understanding and deconstructing where the success ideologies have come from is the start point, because so often we are just caught up in these belief systems, the institutions, the families that have raised us have permeated what we believe we should be spending our lives chasing as a version of success. But quite often that is harmful to us. And so we've got to do the work to understand, well, hang on a minute, what am I actually doing here? So I'll give you an example. So when I was launched my first business back in 2004, and I had ferocious, wonderful growth very, very quickly. I'm an accidental entrepreneur, fell into it. I just had an intention of giving never felt this good. That was my tagline. So I built this bespoke gift company. It grew and grew and grew. And at the same time, I was raising my young family, and I was blessed to have two children, then feel pregnant again. It was twins. Suddenly I've got four children under seven and this burgeoning business. So, so intense. Now I had a warped success ideology that for me to be a successful woman in business, I could do it all and I would not use childcare, because for some reason, and I know it's to do with my upbringing and some belief system, that I had created a story that I was telling myself was that I would be a failure if somebody had to help me raise my children. And so I thought it was normal to work all day, every day around the kids. I was building a workforce in the house. People were coming into my house, tripping over potties and toys. And, you know, I set up this business in the home, customer service in the playroom. I had my office in the lounge, the large format printer was in the nursery, the production area in the garage, and I was bringing people into my home So I could have the children. I had all this chaos going on. Then I would put the children to bed at night. Then I would work and do my thinking time. I thought that was normal. I mean, you know, and I look back now and think, well, no wonder I was cyclically burning out. But I was clinging to a version of success that was fake and it wasn't mine. And it took me time to actually work out that I had to change that.
So Bianca, it sounds like when you're in that path, you have these visions of what success looks like. So you're holding on to things that didn't even come from you and you're kind of sabotaging yourself, making it harder for yourself when you don't even need to. And I'd be curious to know, when you work with individuals, obviously with the kids and thinking, hey, there's different ways that I could have a management with the kids, like obviously having, you know, somebody to take care of them. Are there other areas of life that are very common for people to hold on to, take care of, that causes more overwork, more burnout, that are easy to swap out the moment you start thinking, hey, maybe I shouldn't be worrying about this?
I think it's always individual. It's always absolutely individual. Each one of us is responding to stress and circumstances in different ways. So that's the start point, is recognizing and revering bio-individuality. Understanding what is motivating and driving someone to do what they do is how we start to unpack whether they are operating in a way that is sustainable or not. There's a very delicate balance of good, healthy stress that triggers us to get into peak performance. And it's good for us to allow a bit of that in our lives. That's where we get into that kind of high performance mode where we're invigorated and doing our do with impact. But we can't stay in that place of productivity for too long. We need to understand where the rest is going to come in to then rejuvenate. So it's kind of stress plus rest equals growth. So we have to remember this equation and understand what that looks like for us on an individual level. In recent years, we have tripped into this societal realm of frenetic productivity and chasing perfectionism as proof of self, and this false interpretation of success. And so understanding where we are in or out of kilter with what is true to us is the work that I need to start doing with clients to examine what's going on. Who says working 11 hours a day is A, going to lead to the results that you want in terms of the goals that you've set, or B, be sustainable, and C, satisfying? So we have to really examine what are the drivers, what are the motivators, and what is filling the time and the energy of that particular individual, because the majority of people I work with come with the complaint that they don't have enough time and they don't have enough energy. And so that's why the core strategies in my book are around this inner management of energy and time as the absolute priorities. That's where we always start.
As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important, and you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top-tier security, and human-only, best-in-class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. You mentioned earlier about how we actually highly neglect the emotional, like you mentioned earlier, is the fact that the first thing you usually think is like take care of your body, but the emotional doesn't seem as prescriptive, or at least not clear what should be done. Because like I would have had the same assumptions as you on the physical: exercise, sleep, nutrition, that's it. For emotional, that seems like a big complicated realm. So what are some of the things that are the most neglected one emotionally that may lead us to faster burnout?
Well, if there is any emotional upset going on, and this could be with an unhappiness in a relationship, This could be working in an environment with a culture that doesn't reflect your own values. This could be pursuing the dream of entrepreneurship, but actually recognizing it's 24 hours a day of work and it's too much. So it's about addressing where that disquiet is. Where is that emotional tension coming from? And sadly, what I see all too commonly is when there is emotional disquiet, and we all know when there's something that's triggering us, but what we have done is defaulted into a way of suppressing it, push it down, channel it away by being busy. I know productivity is going to solve that niggle because I haven't got time to address it. I know that's going to be painful if I look that in the eye. I'll just stay busy. I'll just have another child. I'll just launch another business, get another job, you know, and we throw ourselves into escapism. And I mean, another form of that obviously is the socializing, the self-sabotage, the, you know, mentally checking out through hedonism. You know, there's all sorts, embracing vices, all as a way of escaping what actually needs to be surfaced and addressed. So for me personally, being in a corporate environments where I felt myself shrinking and shrinking, I felt my power disappear because I've been trying to be a cog in a very different shaped wheel. And that sort of inauthenticity of trying to fit in, of trying to show up as a different person, to fit in with a cultural expectation in a team, it's exhausting. And we have to be aware of what is it that's dragging us down. And often it's not hard to actually contemplate, well, where do I feel stress and strain emotionally? You're going to notice, well, I'm unhappily married, or I really don't like my boss, or, you know. So then it's about leaning into what those particular areas of disquiet are and changing. And that can be terrifying. It can be absolutely destabilizingly terrifying. And I've resigned from jobs and had to have the courage and conviction that, okay, I'm going to move forward into a different work environment. But the way that I've found that power is by grounding myself into what I know I want and what I'm really clear about, the environment that I can add most value to, and being clear on where I go. So being intentional. I got divorced after 26 years and four children. That was probably the most painful and challenging emotional unrest to actually address. That was not overnight. That was probably 6 or 7 years of my ex-husband and I discussing it and, you know, working out, can we evolve together? Should we evolve apart? How do we manage this amicably? That was epic. That was, you know, popping the bubble of the marriage dream, the fairy tale that I'd held in my heart since I was a little girl, and trying to manage that to not lean into destruction, but lean into positive evolution where we could both harmoniously continue our lives was incredibly challenging. But from that place of strength and moving into addressing the emotional unrest, wow, how life has expanded positively for both of us since. So it's tough. It's the toughest bit. And I think that's why it's not in all the self-help books and it's not often talked about, because it's really challenging and scary. But honestly, it's the most important and transformational part of self-managing when it comes to burnout. I really believe that.
Well, I'd be even curious to know if, you know, given the technology stuff that's moving forward right now, are we seeing that burnout is something that's on an uptrend? Has it been stagnant, or what's been going on?
Yeah. Burnout was classified as a global epidemic in 2019 by the World Health Organization. So they recognized at that point, this is creating too much dis-ease in the world. So that was in 2019. Then we had the pandemic and the whole world was shaken to its very core. And since then, the burnout rates have increased just stratospherically, and they continue at a rate where we now have 68% of the working world experiencing burnout at some point in their lives. In the UK specifically, one in four of us will be signed off on long-term sick leave this year. So what I'm noticing is as we look across the 2025 horizon, the leaders that I'm speaking to, the organizations that I'm working with, you're getting so much fear and assumptive anticipation that burnout's going to come individuals' ways this year because of the economic volatility. Workforces are contracted and yet productivity is increasing and the profit margin isn't squeezed and there's all this intensity in work that you're seeing a fearfulness in workers and a lot of assumption that the grass is going to be greener if I jump ship and go over there. So we've got unprecedented rates of churn in corporate environments. People are assuming that the problem is in their company. They're not looking within. And so the work that I am doing now is that it is your own self-agency, your ability to self-direct how you work. That is the key to how sustainably and gracefully you can succeed or not. Because changing company, unless there's a cultural misalignment that is about your values and you've done that work, but your company is not necessarily the problem. It's how you are working and embracing your remit. That is where the magic and the gold lies to you really stepping into a place where you can successfully maintain output at a pace that is okay for you. But it's not the company's fault.
Even me bringing up technology feels like I'm trying to put the blame on technology, or you're saying put the blame on company, but it sounds like there's maybe a lack of personal accountability around, you know, handling the fact that, hey, I need to be in control. I need to go into look at these emotions. Ah, they're scary. It's so easy to escape. It's so easy to blame. But it sounds like there's a put on your big pants and you have to go into it.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Because it is scary and it's easier to stay on the treadmill and just go, oh, it's so busy. It's so intense. My boss is doing this to me. Or my husband's doing this to me. Is my children doing this to me? But actually, I firmly believe that once we get organized in our body, mind, and soul, and we get organized within, then we can go out and have all the gorgeous impact that we so desire. But we have to start doing that work and taking that self-accountability. And it's great once we do it. It's amazing because then your expansion enables you to make your dent in the universe more magnificently than ever before. Just do the work to get organized in the first place. And that's it.
I love it. Now, I'd want to be able to take your concepts and see how this applies, because obviously we're here talking about sales reluctance. I mean, sales in itself is a high energy field. It's a highly emotional field. I mean, you're dealing with rejection, you're dealing with anxiety, you're dealing with euphoria when you close a sale. So there's a lot of emotions that happen in every sales transaction. At least that's the thesis that I bring forward. And I'd be curious to know, have any of the studies you've done and things you've witnessed around burnout, particular to sales, have any nuance that you think we should pay attention to?
Yeah, I mean, sales, we're all selling, aren't we? We're selling. I say this to, you know, my little kids, you know, you're selling yourself, your teacher, you know, we're all, and all selling really is that sphere of influence that we're creating around ourselves. And sales is not a dirty word. When we are trying to create a sale, we're trying to create some unified value in a realm with someone else or some organization, a company, you know. Sales is how we make stuff happen. We move stuff forwards. The emotional challenges and the ups and downs, the undulations that you've just described around that sales process really come down to how we, again, are directing ourselves to what success looks like. So being focused on sales that are motivating and meaningful is where we get that energy and that momentum to continue. And I'm sure you're similar. You love the work that you do. I love the work that I do. So therefore, I could never stop pitching. I love talking to companies and people about how they can potentially solve their burnout issues. There is a never-ending list. There's a never-ending need and never-ending demand. But I have got to self-manage to make sure that I'm just not working 24 hours around the clock, selling, because I love the conversations, I love what I'm doing. I've got to be really mindful of how I'm focusing my finite attention and effort in the most meaningful directions. So that is about me identifying what those priorities are that are going to yield the biggest impact most immediately. So let's think about the entrepreneurs that are watching and listening and the multiple work streams that we can embrace as entrepreneurs. And we all know how many different pillars underpin each aspect of our working day, the different business work streams. Where we invest our time and focus and which work streams we pick on a daily basis, which tasks that we prioritize and do, has to be about us intuitively connecting that particular action with the result that we want. And that has to tie back to what is most meaningful on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a yearly basis, because we could all work all day, every day. You know, we're all going to probably work well into our 80s, and let's stay positive and assume that's what's going to happen. So the task list is never, ever, ever going to shrink or diminish, and we're never going to master it. And I talk in my book about the myth of the mastered to-do list. Because so often, entrepreneurs or corporate workers, we assume that there's a sense of peace and success that is awaiting when we cross off that to-do list and we've got everything done. That's when we're going to feel great. That's when we'll be at peace. And so we just keep on grinding, churning, out of work, staying productive, thinking, it's going to be good and sunny and there's a rainbow at the end of that list. But the list is never ending. It's never going to stop. There's always going to be more to do. So it's up to us to be razor focused on how we're directing our attention. And this is probably the most important skill that I teach anyone that I'm working with, is really understand the difference between subjective and objective attention. Because anything that is objectively distracting you from what is core to your overarching purpose, intention, sales goals, or whatever matters most, whatever you've defined, anything that is distracting you is stealing your time, it's stealing your energy, and it's depleting you. And we want everyone to be in this place of expansion and abundant energy. So it's about staying in that realm of subjective attention in what we do, in what we consume, in the environments that we're in, the people that we're with, and staying really true to that.
As you're sharing this, the thing that comes to mind the most is thinking back on when I said, yes, I know there's moments and times that come in cycle where I go to bed and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not at peace. And what I think is the biggest correlation to that is when I actually have a full day that I feel I was so damn busy, but then somebody asked me, so what was accomplished? And I'm like, I don't know. That to me is like the worst feeling. And I think it speaks to exactly what you're sharing right now.
Exactly. And you probably have accomplished a lot of stuff, but it's that lack of clarity. And that's where it comes back down to, in my book, there's the first four strategies are inner strategies to manage and focus on our energy, our mindset, our time, and our purpose. And that final one, that purpose, that intentionality, is what's so critical to you getting to bed at the end of the day and going, oh, that was a purposeful day. And I worry, I see it in my children, I see it out in sort of mainstream media, that purpose has elevated up to this lofty, ethereal realm of purpose has to be about eradicating child hunger in the world. It's become this sometimes unattainably magnificent fallacy. And my 22-year-old son was in here with me yesterday going, Mom, I'm really worried. I haven't found my purpose. And I had to soothe him and say, but you have, darling. It's okay, because purpose does not have to be saving the world. Purpose can be just understanding what makes us happy. And the happiness is always going to come from operating from a place of love, contribution, giving. That's the good high vibe vibration. And when we're in that state and that zone, then we're happy, we're peaceful, we're in integrity. So my son has got purpose because he's showing up every day, nurturing a young team, even though he's young himself. and he's learning every day and he's aligned. So I reassure him, you're purposeful, you're intentional, you've got a plan of expanding your knowledge, of learning how to relate to people positively, empathically. You're on purpose. It's okay. But we all need to take accountability for that ourselves.
It's funny, before we hit record, we were talking a bit about my own past with an organization that you're also familiar with, which is Mindvalley. And there's this interesting thing that a bunch of us alumni from Mindvalley call the post-employment Mindvalley syndrome, which is, what's amazing about working at Mindvalley is you have such a grand vision of impacting 500 million lives, and you're all motivated, all aligned. The company creates an amazing sense of purpose. And when you leave the organization, it feels there's like this, I would say it's probably a mini burnout. We feel lost. We're like, oh my God, does anything I do matter? Is it big enough? I need to change the world on my own now. And so there's like an adjustment period that a lot of ex-employees have to go through, that then you go and have to find that joy and realize that, hey, you don't need to always be making the biggest impact. If not, you're a failure. And I don't know if you see that post-corporate very often.
Yes. Well, it's interesting because I write about this in my book, actually, about ex-military personnel who, they have been in an environment that is so motivated by this commonality of a mission, of a purpose. So then when they enter civilian life, I'm talking outside of PTSD, I'm talking about that sense of aloneness, of where's my purpose, what's my value? And there's so often this depression that is experienced because they've left the bubble.
And we call it the Mindvalley bubble too.
But the way to evolve out of that is to create a common purpose that is shared with a new community. So that becomes around finding connection again. Because when you've left Mindvalley or the military, you were part of a community. That alignment, that purpose-driven value of a community, oh, it's energetically invigorating. It's magic, whether it's the Army or Mindvalley. And so coming out, we then seek that connection again, and we want that sense of belonging. And it's really challenging to try and build that, whether you're building your own company, but that emotional resilience that we need to create to endure and sustain is where we've got to consciously do the work to protect ourselves. And building emotional resilience comes from finding a support group, finding that connection, and then working out, you know, what that individual purpose and contribution is going to be. And clearly, you've come out of the bubble, you've survived, you've soared.
We're thriving, we're doing all right. But it is such a fascinating, I find, correlated, call it, event that I was like, wow, I think that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, amazing. Well, good for you.
Well, Bianca, I'm so excited we had this conversation. One of the things that I've picked up the most out of this is that, well, hey, in the times of today, burnout is higher than ever, and we have to be very diligent, but it's also very easy to scapegoat all of our external environment, which we already have no control over, and we have to start managing our emotional states. You've mentioned the kind of litmus test that we might want to run is when we go to bed at night, like, are we finding peace? Are we finding that we're feeling like there's something going on? There's more to do. It's unrest. And I think that might be, even if we're fooling ourselves that this is the only way, might be the best test to start. What you've really emphasized is we need to redefine what success is. I think that we need to start challenging a lot of the assumptions around success, recraft what that is. What I found very interesting is that we don't have a prescription that fits everyone. Everyone has a very different thing. So I think that what we're inviting people that are listening to this is to go on a journey to realize managing the emotions is one of the most neglected areas. We have to go and investigate. And I would say most of the listeners here, I would hope you're already exposed to personal growth tools, to some spiritual tools, and you're going to be obviously going deeper within Bianca's work here. So definitely grab a copy of Big Impact Without Burnout. If it's already out, you can grab it now. If it's still in the pre-orders, you'll be able to be one of those pre-orders. It's a huge support when you grab a book on a pre-order, by the way. So please go do that. And you'll be able to go and apply these frameworks to have a lot more self-discovery, making sure that you're aligning with a purpose so that it actually brings an impact. But again, we have to make sure that it's not coming at the cost of us being completely drained, because then, well, we ain't doing much anymore if that's the case. Bianca, I do want to ask one question, which I do ask all my guests. And you are on the Selling with Love podcast, so I have to ask you, what does selling with love mean to you?
creating expansion and doing so with integrity, with grace, and finding mutual opportunity to create beautiful, positive expansion.
I love it. And I would ask one more, which is, as someone who's just listened to this and maybe they're finding themselves on that spectrum of feeling like, hey, maybe I'm like on the edge of that burnout, what would be one of the most powerful things you'd recommend people do after listening to this podcast, after buying your book, of course, that they could immediately do to be able to maybe step themselves in a better direction?
So pay attention to your energy, what is depleting it and what is expanding it, because too often we chase energy as something over there, but actually we produce it, we create it within ourselves and we deplete it within ourselves. So pay real attention to your environments, your relationships, the stuff that you're doing and what naturally energizes you, because you want to just create more balance where you're doing more of the energizing stuff and you're leaving more of the stuff that depletes you. And in my book, I've got a harmonic energy scorecard, because remember, our bodies want us to be in homeostasis. Our bodies want us to be at peace and functioning with all our systems in regular flow. So pay attention to energy, start there, and then the rest will follow positively. And I wish everyone well and much success.
Bianca, thank you so much for your time. All the best on the book launch. We're glad to be able to support. This audience is a great supporter when it comes to authors who are launching books. So everyone, go and grab a copy of this book. Make sure that you are making all that impact and staying thriving, successful, and balanced in the process. Burnout is not necessary. You can see the signs and you have a ton of tools that Bianca shares in the book that you'll be able to dig deeper. Bianca, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you so much.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.